I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of 1 John, chapter 3. That's the first epistle of John, and the third chapter, we're reading at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. That's 1 John, chapter 3. And let's listen to the word of God as we read it together and follow the word of God. May the Lord minister to our hearts. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We end our reading there. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads humbly before the Lord in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to minister his truth. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence this morning, acknowledging that without thee we can do absolutely nothing. We thank thee that in thee we live and move and have our very being. We thank thee, our God, that you breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that thou art the God who is sovereign in life, and thou art the God who is sovereign in death. Thou art sovereign in and over all things. And we pray that you'll bless thy word now to our hearts. Help us as we meditate upon it. We pray that you'll stir our hearts afresh. We thank thee for the lovely old hymns that we've been singing this morning. Oh Lord, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We thank thee for everyone that can sing that out of the very depths of their soul. Oh God, I shall know him. I shall know him. When redeemed by his side, I shall stand. Oh, my God, I pray that, Lord, that each and every one that's in this service today, that not one will be missing on that day, but that each one will have their faith and trust alone in that finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross for their salvation. And so bless us as we open thy word and meditate upon it. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Give us clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and the anointing of thy spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen. We've been looking at these opening verses here in 1 John chapter 3. We looked at verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The last Lord's Day morning, we're looking at verse number 2. At least a part of it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We looked at that term there, beloved. And of course, we realize that that is a term that John has used. He was the beloved disciple. And he speaks in that loving term. He talks about little children. And how that he's speaking about the family of God, and how that they are beloved of the Lord, and also very much loved ones in the family of God. Because, of course, not only are we loved of God and recipients of God's love, but also we ought to love one another. And then we notice, secondly, the time. It says, beloved, now. Now, he's speaking about something at that particular time. It's a present position. It is a present status. It is a present privilege now. It's something for the here and now. He says, beloved, now. And then notice, not only it says, now are we, and notice, it's not that we will be, but now are we. We are right now. What are we? We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We looked at the tribe there. Are we? John links himself with the rest of the children of God. And he's a part of that great number, that great gathering of people that will gather around the throne on that great day, around the throne of God. And here's the title, now are we the sons of God. Speaking about the sons and the daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what a tremendous privilege that is. It says there, in as many as received him, in John chapter 1:12, as many as received him, to them give he the power or the privilege or the authority to become the sons and the daughters of God. It doth not yet appear, it says, what we shall be, but thank God, now we are. Now we are the sons of God. Now, of course, the old devil puts a question mark over that and said, how could you be a child of God? You're not sinless. You have feelings. You feel the Lord. How could you be a son or a child of God? You are by faith in Jesus Christ. As many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. This is not something that is of you, my friend, or of me, but it is something that is of the Lord. It is a miracle of God's grace that is wrought within our hearts that brings us into the family of God. Of course, the old devil will question your sonship or that you're in the family of God. Didn't he question the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, if thou be the Son of God, Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, he put a question mark over the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, when the devil assailed the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's no surprise that he would also assault us who are now the sons of God. Thank God today, you are a child of God. If you're washed in the blood of Christ, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now. You're not waiting to be a child of God. You are now a child of God. You've been brought into the family, the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted into the family of God. But of course, not only does the devil question that, but let's be honest, there are times in our own lives that we question the validity and we doubt the validity of our adoption whenever we look at our feelings and whenever we look at our own faults. And friend, you know it is, we say sadly today that we fall short of the glory of God. But I'm reminded of that verse over in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where it speaks about David and the Jonathan's son Mephibosheth. And let me just read a few verses there in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 8, it says this, and Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? That's what he thought about himself. He says, I'm just like a dead dog. And he said, he's speaking here about David, verse number 7, David said unto him, fear not, Mephibosheth, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And that absolutely was amazing as far as Mephibosheth was concerned, because he realized, I don't deserve this. And he cried out, he says, well, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Verse number 11, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded a servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse number 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. He saw himself in his unworthy state, I'm as a dead dog. But where is he? He's sitting as one of the king's sons, sitting continually every day eating at the table of the king. Why was that kindness shown? David said, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And friend, thank God we have the privilege of gathering around the table of the Lord as the family of God. And we're there because of the king's son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're there at the Father's table continually, enjoying the blessing of sonship, blessing of being in the family of God, undeserving. And so the old devil comes and says, you know, I'm not worthy of such a position. I'm not worthy of such a blessing. Well, friend, that's true. We're not in the family of God because we're worthy. We're in the family of God because of what Christ has done for us and the righteousness which he has given to us, his righteousness which has been imputed to us. We're not worthy of our position. But thank God now are we the sons of God. That's something you can rejoice in. Don't let the devil, my friend, discourage you today. Don't let the devil drive you down into despondency today because you say, well, I'm not sinless and I'm not perfect as yet. That is true. And we should die more and more unto sin and live more and more into righteousness. But thank God we're sons forever. We're sons of the King of Kings forever. Let me tell you, friend, the kings of this world, the empires of this world will pass away. But thank God we're sons of the King of Kings. We're sons. Now are we the sons of God. And the wonderful thing is this, nothing can change that. Nothing can change that, and no one can change that. Thank God it tells us, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. If you're a child of God today, I want to tell you, my friend, if you are in the family of God today, saved by the grace of God. Now, of course, I'm not talking about a profession. I'm talking about genuinely born again of the Spirit of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your name written in heaven, not simply on a little piece of paper on earth. But your name written in heaven, if you're truly saved, then remember this. You're right now, right at this moment, you are now a son, a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let's go back to the verse again. Because let me, listen, there is indeed a great truth here. It says, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. And there's a thought here. It doth not yet appear. You see, the best is not yet. But thank God the best is yet to come. You say, well, when? When will the best come, friend? Listen, it says this. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. No, not yet. But thank God. When he shall appear. It's then. And John contrasts the present for the future. He says here, listen, it doth not yet appear. At this moment, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Thank God we are now the sons of God. But oh, the glory that will be manifested when we are with the Lord, it doth not yet appear. You know, Paul, whenever he was writing that great chapter 8 of the book of Romans under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he too compared the present to the future. Because he said this in Romans chapter 8, talking about that we have the spirit of adoption, verse 15, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 17, if children then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, there's the present, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not only revealed to us, but the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so therefore, thank God there's a blessed hope for the future. Because there's a great day that's coming, friend. And you know, that blessed hope for the future is an anchor to sustain you in days of testing in the present. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. And friend, let's be honest. In this old world, you will have troubles and trials and tribulations. In this present time, you'll go through tough times. There'll be days when the storm clouds of affliction will be upon you. And even it seems as if your heavenly Father has hid his face amidst the clouds of the storms that break upon your life. But thank God there's something to sustain you. Thank God there's a future. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Would you say, but I can't see that this day? You're in under a dark cloud. You're going through a deep valley. Listen, you say, well, I can't see it today. Why can't I see it? Well, haven't we got it here in this verse? It doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear. The word there, appear, to manifest, to bring to light, to make visible, to make clear, to clearly reveal. No, friend, not yet. It's not clear. Only, what do we sing? Only faintly now I see him. For there's a darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming where his glory shall be seen. So we've got to wait. We've got to wait. It doth not yet appear. You want to know it all today. You want to have the whole end of the story. I want to tell you, here's the thought today. It doth not yet appear. We don't know it all now. Now we know in part, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13. We just know in part. Just as Abram, he went out not knowing whither he went, but he had to take the step of faith day by day, step by step. And friend, the Lord is leading you in your life. You've got to take it step by step. It doth not yet appear. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples whenever he washed their feet in John chapter 13? He says, what I do, thou knowest not now. You don't understand it. Maybe, friend, you don't understand. What is the Lord doing in your life? Why is the Lord allowing you to go through such trials that you're going through? Why is it that the day seems at times to be so dark? And why do you feel at times so lonely that even you question your position in Jesus Christ? Listen, it doth not yet appear. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know. You've got to wait. Hold on, brother. Hold on, sister. Listen, the Lord has not lost the plan. The Lord has not forgotten you today. Yes, he does lead his children through shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. Many of God's children walk a dark valley, friend. Think of the martyrs. What it cost them to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Friend, we haven't been martyred. Oh, we feel sorry for ourselves at times because things are not going the way we want. What would it be, friend, if you were facing the fire? What would it be because of your stand and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ that you had to make a choice between life and death? As the martyrs did. Rather than bow and their knee to the falsehood of Rome's teaching. And blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us upon the cross in the purchase of our redemption through his precious atoning blood. Yes, we do feel sorry for our sin because you say, well, I can't understand it. I can't see it. Listen, it doth not yet appear. But thank God it will. He'll make the way clear someday. Maybe not now, but thou shalt no hereafter. Now let's get this thought, friend, because listen, let's take it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Notice the tense. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now we know what we are. Now are we the sons of God. Our sonship is not in question here. And don't let the devil put your sonship or being in the family of God under question because you're going through dark days and deep waters of trials or afflictions or sickness or even oppression. What we shall be, that describes a future event. There's the promise of future glory. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I wonder, in this congregation of people this morning, are there children of God that are discouraged? Maybe you're downcast. Maybe life has thrown you a tough ball this week. Maybe you're growing weary in your well-doing. Just dwell on this thought, friend. Just let this penetrate your heart. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Shall be. Thank God, God's going to fulfill the completeness of the plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan. I believe that God has a plan for every life of His children. And what God has commenced in your life, God will perform. God will let the Lord have His way. Wait for Him. But notice this. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. We know. There's a blessed assurance. Fanny Crosby never saw the light of a day. And yet we sang Fanny Crosby's hymn this morning. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Yes, my friend, there was something happened at her birth. And she lost the sight of her eyes, but I can tell you this, God give her a spiritual sight that many a person who has got their earthly eyes have never had. She saw the beauty and the glory and the wonder of the Lord. You see, our final destiny as the children of God has not fully been revealed, but we can rest assured God will honor His word. God will keep His word. He is the faithful God. We know. It's not we speculate. There is not a shadow of a doubt. We know. What do we know, friend? Well, look at the triumph here. That brings us to the triumph. We know that when He shall appear, there's the triumph. John does not equivocate here. He plainly promises that Jesus will appear. Tell me this. How did John have this blessed assurance? Where did he get it from? I'll tell you. From the lips of a Savior. You see, John was leaning on the Savior's breast in that upper room before the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross. It was there that the Lord Jesus Christ said those lovely words, John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, here it is, I will come again and receive you unto myself." John heard it from the lips of Christ. That's how he had a blessed assurance. He took the Savior at his word. Jesus promised. Notice it says here, we know that if he appear, no. We know that when he shall appear. It's not if, it's when. Now this morning, I don't know when he'll appear. I don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, but I'll tell you this, I haven't a doubt about it. He's coming. When he comes is in the Father's hand. But thank God, Jesus is coming again. You can stake your eternity on it, friend. Jesus Christ is coming again. And John was so sure because he heard that precious promise from the lips of the Savior himself. And what did Jesus preface his remarks? He says, you believe in God? Believe me. Trust me. Trust me. And friend, you and I have got to wait until when Jesus Christ comes back again. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved and earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But thank God he's coming. Behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. Look at verse 28 of chapter 2 of 1 John. And now, little children, here's John loving the family of God. He says this, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Friend, have we lived a life this week as a child of God that has brought glory to the Lord? Had the Lord called or the Lord come this past week, let me ask you this, would you have been ashamed where the Lord found you? Would you have been ashamed if the Lord had been standing there in the midst of the company that you were in? Would you have been ashamed if the Lord had have listened personally to the words that you were speaking? But he was. He was listening. And yet you never blushed. Do you know why? Because you weren't conscious that he's always there. He's always listening. And the Word of God says, every idle word that men shall speak. Every idle word. See those little drop words that you just spitefully say? Listen, every idle word that man will speak, the Bible says, ye shall give an account thereof. Before who? Him. Friend, honestly before God, and I challenge my own heart and I challenge your heart today, if you and I were conscious of that fact, I can tell you this, we would be very careful what we said to anyone or about anyone. If we were conscious that every idle word that man speaks, he shall give account thereof. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, we have three appearings. In the verse number 26 in Hebrews chapter 9, it says this, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, But now in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There is his first appearing. To go to the cross of Calvary, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He has appeared. He hath he appeared. Notice the tense. Thank God he has already appeared to put away sin. Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear. Hath he appeared? That's the past. Now to appear? That's the present. In the presence of God for us. Does that not cheer you? That now he appears in the presence of his Father for us. And then look at verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. The second time, without sin, unto salvation. Notice, hath he appeared? That's already happened. He went to the cross. That's his incarnation and his crucifixion. Now to appear, that's his intercession. Right now, in the presence of God, he's appearing for us, on your behalf, interceding on your behalf today. Thank God he's interested in you. That's why I say, listen, no matter what trial you're going through, friend, remember you're never alone. There's one at the Father's right hand that's pleading for you, for us. And then one day, thank God, he's coming for us. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? And that's the blessed hope of a child of God. Friend, there's not a doubt about it. Not a doubt about it. When Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, in that fourth chapter that we read as we stand at the side of an open grave, we often read it. These are the words that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend. Notice the words, the Lord himself, himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet in the Lord of the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the blessed hope of the child of God, friend. And friend, let me tell you this. That blessed hope is not cross your fingers and hope it. Oh, hope it works out. It's an unconditional certainty. For biblical hope is not hope so. It is hope sure. Hope sure. Whenever the disciples were standing there in the Mount of Olives and the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up, you remember what the angel said? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, yes, the Lord himself, this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. You know, friends, we talk about the signs of his coming, and they are so many. But let me ask you this question. Are you listening for the sound of his coming? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. And there's nothing silent about that. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. There's the triumph, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming. But notice what it says there. We know that when he shall appear, notice the next words, that's the transformation. The transformation. We shall be like him. That's the transformation. Like him. The word like means similar. Our glorious transformation to resemble. You see, believers are never equal to Christ, since he is infinite and we're just finite. But they will be similar to him in glory. Cusick commentary said, God's ultimate goal in our lives is to make us like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we be conformed to the image of his Son. Or here, we shall be like him. John speaks of the fulfillment of that purpose, like Jesus. There's a challenge there too, friend, isn't it? Were we like Christ this week? When people looked at us this week, when we talked to them, when we walked amongst them, when we spoke to them, tell me, were we very much like Jesus? Did we show them the love of Christ? Did we live as Christ did, the meekness of Christ? Were we really like him? Yes, it says we shall be like him. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Is that how we live this week? Like him. Friend, there's a tremendous challenge in this passage of God's word. You know, we sing a wee chorus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all that I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all that I ask is to be like him. But are we? Are we like him? And then here's this truth. We'll finish. We shall see him just as he is. As he is. Have you ever wondered what that's going to be like? You know, our loved ones in the glory have seen the glory of Jesus. We sang the hymn, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face, we shall see him as he is. Do you remember whenever John, or rather Thomas, was invited by the Lord? Thomas, put your fingers into the nail prints. Thomas, see my side. Put your hand there. The marks of Calvary. And Thomas cried out, my Lord, my God. Face to face with Jesus. Friend, what will it be when we arrive home to be with Him? Will you be there? Are you saved? Are you ready? Are you walking with Him? Friend, if you're not, I beg you in God's name, don't leave God's house today without getting it settled. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today, and we pray that You'll write it upon our hearts. We ask of Thee that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will speak to each and every one. Grant that not one will leave Thy house today without knowing for certainty, for sure, that they're a child of God. I ask in Jesus' precious name, Lord, save today. And oh, sanctify Thy people, that as we live in this world, that our earnest desire this week as we go out to live, that we be more like Jesus. More like Jesus. All that I ask is to be like Him. In Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake.